We are here at Denver Comic Con Day 2. This is Bobby.
And Stash.
Here with Nerds That Know with?
With Terry Brooks.
Hey, Terry. So you were just telling me you have a new book coming out this year. What's coming out this year?
Well, the second book in the Fall of Shannara trilogy is actually releasing this weekend at Denver Comic Con. So that's the first one. The second one is a new book called Street Freaks, and that will release in October. And that book is somewhat different because it is a futuristic thriller.
Oh, that sounds interesting. Is that going to become a series as well?
Well, if enough people buy it, I will.
Will it be a futuristic thriller of the Shannara world or of our world?
It has nothing to... I'm sorry to disappoint you, Sash, but it has nothing to do with anything I've ever written before. It's at this point, it's a standalone, non-fantasy story, and it is more on the order of something like... Well, I'm always talking in movie terms, so these days anyway. So I guess you would say it's Blade Runner meets Fast and Furious.
Oh, interesting. That sounds like a fun mix.
Yeah. Something. You know, every so often a writer needs to stretch their mental muscles and do something out of the box, and that's what this book really is. And I've been working on it on and off for 5 years. Rewrote it about 3 times to get it to where I wanted it to be. But I have high hopes for it, just like I have high hopes for the Shannara books, although I don't need to worry quite so much about them.
No, they've got plenty of momentum. You don't need to worry about those. They're just feeding candy to a baby now.
They are. I still take that very seriously. I mean, I'm wrapping up the series, first of all. This four-book set is the end of the forward movement of the whole Shannara cycle. And after that, I'll just go back and do work on the prehistory and fill in some blanks and that sort of thing. But I really wanted to close it out, you know, before the unexpected happened and somebody else did it. As they would, you know.
Yeah.
I've always known what the ending would be. So, you know, since it was my vision in the beginning, I thought I better wrap it up now while I'm still, you know, able to do so and make sure it's all of one piece no matter what.
Yeah, because that has happened a lot to these epic sprawling fantasies lately. I mean, Robert Jordan's series is a perfect example of that, of how he had to have someone else pick it up instead of finish it himself. And I know that didn't end quite the way he wanted it to, but they did what they had to in order to make a satisfactory conclusion.
No, I was just going to say, you just said that you know how it was going, you've known how it was going to end. When you first wrote the very first, you know, sentence of this whole Chronicles series, did you know what was going to happen, or have you been a surprise to some of your readers?
Well, I think, you know, when you write the first book in any series, especially one that's gone on as long as this one has, you really don't know if anyone's even going to read it or buy it, for that matter. So you don't have in your mind, well, like 30 books down the road, this is how it's going to be. It was more a sense of what it was I was trying to achieve with the story and how I saw it in the long run, you know, in my mind without actually knowing I was going to be writing all these books. But after the first, the first 7 or 8, I had a pretty firm idea of what I wanted to see happen, and I was working towards it. And you can see it sort of start to develop when you get into the Voyage of the Gerald Shannara series, because by then we have airships, and we start to see weaponry come back in, and science is coming back into the world that has been taken over by magic. And much of my effort has been about talking about how when there's a void or a vacuum in a power structure, something's going to fill that. So when science goes down in the old world and is no longer viable, then something fills the void, in this case magic. But now magic is starting to be distrusted. And the further we go into the series, the less we see of it, and we start to see science start to resurface. So the question is, when this happens, is there a cycle in which science replaces magic? You know, what will be the dynamic that makes that determination? And that was what I wanted this last series to be all about.
Fantastic. Stash, you look like you had a question.
Oh, no, I was just going to say, it's always interesting to look at how, in these worlds, how science and magic can either enhance one another. I'm thinking of, like, the Gunpowder Trilogy, something like that. or they can be the cure for one another necessarily. And it's interesting. Have you, I don't want you to go too depth into spoilers, have you decided if one is going to prevail? Is one going to fade? I feel like that's getting really spoilery, but share what you feel comfortable with.
I don't think I'm going to answer that because I want people to buy all four books and see the evolution themselves. All I can tell you is that the nature of the ending and the way it happens, right down to almost the last sentence, has been in my mind for quite a while. So I have that firmly there, and I know how I'm going to structure it when we get there. And I don't know how people will feel about it, but I think it's the right ending.
Awesome. Now, have you been surprised by any of your characters while you're writing this?
Yeah, well, you know, not overly surprised because I'm writing them. So, you know, they can't do anything
still.
I don't tell them to. I think it's more a case of, I hear people talk about how characters take over the story. What they're really saying is that a character becomes more interesting to them and seems to have a larger role or the potential for that, so they decide to develop them further, which is part of what you're supposed to do as a writer. And sometimes a character that starts out as being peripheral just seems to grow as you start to write the story in your mind. As a more viable character to be used in different ways, so you expand on that character and increase their role in the story.
Now it's, what is it, over 30 books now? Something like that?
Well, there's 30 Shannara books, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I think it's right at 30, given the one that comes out next year.
And we only had 2 seasons of the show. What are your thoughts on how that happened?
I could go on rather endlessly about this. I'm sorry to say that the networks that produced them lost interest. It was an expensive show to produce, so money definitely entered into the factoring. The cast, the visuals, incredible. Everybody was still committed to the show, but it just, if you don't have a platform to launch it or continue it, not going to work. So, you know, at the moment it's in hiatus at best. We're talking to some other networks about picking it up and doing something with it, either in its current form or a different kind of form. But I'm not going to hold my breath on this, and I've still got a project in Magic Kingdom out there that's looking for a home, and, you know, I'll just keep my eyes open. I thought it was a great experience. I'm glad I did it. I would do it again.
No, I'm glad you mentioned Magic Kingdom. That was actually my first introduction to you. So, you have a project going with that? Are you telling me it's going to hit either a small screen or a big screen?
Well, we've had a project going for 10 years, so, you know, the thing is that it's a building blocks process. So, you start with the book, and then you start with producers and packagers that want to develop it. Then you get a network or a studio, in this case, because it's a movie production. Then we got a name actor in Steve Carell to play the part of Ben Holiday. And then we got a script that we all loved, and then the studio said, I don't think we're interested anymore. So, you know, there's...
Sounds like Hollywood to me.
Yes, Hollywood, indeed. And the funny thing is that the people, the studio that turned it away, within 3 months of the time that they dropped the option, the head was fired.
Oh, no.
So, you know, this is sweet revenge with no purpose.
Yeah.
So we're still, you know, still looking. Again, there are other options, and the wheels move slowly.
They do.
They do indeed.
One of the things I really appreciate about your books is the audiobooks that are available. I know that Stash is not a huge fan of audiobooks. He thinks they're read too slowly. But I appreciate being in the car, stuck in Denver traffic, and listening to a good book instead of getting angry at the car in front of me. How is your process working with the different narrators that you've worked with and producing the audiobooks?
Well, I've always pretty much had audiobooks, first of all, so we're talking 30 years.
Mm-hmm.
The second part of it, no, we're talking almost 40 years. So I've had a lot of narrators do the books, a lot of readers, and we've done some of the earlier books more than once, including Magic Kingdom.
Yes.
So now we're still in the process. We're with Random House right now, audio, and I just finished talking to them about the new set of audio tapes that are going to, now I'm dating myself, audio discs that are going to be released on the Fall of Shannara series. And, you know, each time it's a case of talking about who the narrator should be, then talking with the narrator, usually by email, on pronunciation and, you know, how he should approach things or she should approach things. And then waiting to see how it's going to turn out. And I think they have either already done it or they're in the process of doing it. Certainly have already done number one, and this new one is out now, so I think they're in the process of doing that one.
Are you going to do any with full cast?
Nobody suggested it. So
it's being suggested. I say,
except by you, right? I don't know. I haven't really thought that hard about audio, and it's never been a, you know, I don't think about peripheral rights much at all, which is my own fault, because I'm sort of a, you know, books are what count, and I don't care about the rest of it. Yeah, it's an idea. I just really haven't had time to pursue the idea of full cast with the Random House people to see if they would be interested in trying to do something like that.
Now, all of the artwork that's on your books, absolutely fantastic. Is it multiple different illustrators, or do you have a group of people that you go to?
You know, in the old days, I had definite illustrators that I used, the Hildebrandt brothers, Daryl K. Sweet. I can never think of the other guy who did such wonderful work on the several series after that. And then we used the fellow from England for a while on some of the books. So we've been back and forth. And right now we're doing a kind of digital work that isn't really a painting in the way that the old covers were done, but a rendering of a figure in an iconic pose. And if you look at what's going on with Fall of Shannara, you've got the backside of one of the main characters where you see the face in profile, and they're holding some kind of a, you know, weapon or staff or something, and you're looking out over a visual, usually of some kind of a landscape that's in trouble. So that's a different approach. So we've always used different things, and I like that about that. I kind of push a lot for different looks. I don't want my books to continue to, you know, in the early days, I would establish something and then everybody would copy it. And I said, no, you know, no, give me something else. So they would give me something else. We're still trying to do that. What can we do that isn't out there on every other book so that the book cover stands out?
Yeah, that was a problem from early fantasy. Every fantasy book cover looked the same.
Right.
And then we started seeing different artistic styles brought in, and it really, I want to say it helped influence people's perception of fantasy, because it showed that there is such a wide diversity in fantasy.
No, I agree completely.
Well, one of the things that I was kind of conscious of, and that Del Rey, at the very beginning of things with me, worked very hard on, was to make the book about the book on the cover. Because in the old days, with all the science fiction books, we had the same things. We had a robot. We had a rocket ship. We had a near-naked woman, maiden, with a monster, you know, and that was almost every cover we had the same, where they had something, and it was, you know, and you'd read the book and there was nothing in there about any of this, nothing.
I still remember the first time that happened, and I was like, oh, this book looks so cool, and I read it, and I'm like, what's going on here?
Yeah.
Did someone peel the cover off another book?
Yeah, it's a reader teaser that doesn't live up to its promise. So, you know, I've always tried to influence, because I do have something to say about my covers, and they always ask me if I like or don't like what they want to do, and sometimes I have definite things I want to see happen. But the point is that they try very hard to make their covers stand out and be different while still representative of something definite in the story. And so even in the new ones where you've got a recognizable character, which you do, you also have a scene which will be immediately apparent when you read the book.
So do you have your illustrators read the manuscript before they even do any sort of draft, or do you just talk to them about what the story is?
No, we make them read the book. I mean, it's horrible for them, but they have to do it. Yeah, we do. I mean, the publishing house people read the book, and the illustrator or our art department people, they read the book so that they have an ongoing sense of what it is that needs to happen. I mean, otherwise, they're guessing at what should be there. They don't understand the tone, and who could expect them? So, you know, I'm sure they get a pass on a few things where the editors say, well, here's what you're basically looking for, and this is what it feels like and so on.
So you have so many different series, and Shannara being one of the most recognizable with, you know, so many books and the TV show and everything else. What series has really been your favorite to work on, or is that series not yet out yet?
No, I think I'm one of those writers that whatever I'm working on, that's my favorite. It's like when people say, well, what's your best book? I say, the one I'm writing right now, that's my best book. Because I think you need that mindset in order to do your best work. If you've already written your best book, well, what are you doing then? Treading water? Wasting your time? So I'm always trying to, you know, raise the bar a little bit more. And I may not always do it, but at least that's what I'm striving for. So I always feel like with me, the other thing is that I don't like choosing between my children, as it were. So I just sort of feel like, you know, if I'm working on something, I'm invested in it, wholly invested in it at the time I'm doing it. When I'm done with it, it's over there. It's over there. It's out in the public. It belongs. Here's my theory. Books are like children. You raise them upright. You give them infuse them with what wisdom you have. Teach them whatever you can teach them. Make them as good as you can. Send them out into the world and hope they send home money.
Hey, that's a brilliant idea. So, kind of parallel to that question, is there a series you've always kind of thought of that you haven't yet written that you're kind of interested in writing? Maybe since you're resolving the Shannara Chronicles, maybe going back and telling a sub-story of someone you loved?
I'm always
a complete, like, your parallel book that you're writing right now?
Oh, well, I always have new ideas. That's one good thing. I am not somebody who struggles with ideas. So I always have a series of things percolating in the back of my mind that I'd like to work on if I, you know, live long enough to do it. And right now, for example, wrapping up the Shannara series in its forward progress, I'm still going to go back and do the rest of the prehistory, which I've been thinking about, and some other things there. I am working right now. I just finished a new Word and Void novella that's going to be part of a short story collection of some new and old short story work that I've been putting together for the past 6 months or so. I've got a new Magic Kingdom book. I'm going to be writing that.
Yay.
Yes, I know I've heard that several times already. And that should come out. I should write it beginning in the fall of next year. And I should have it out in 2021, probably, release that. So, you know, these are all things. Then I've got Street Freaks. Now, Street Freaks does really well, and people like this story and like these characters. I'll probably do another book in that series because I enjoyed it, and I always do these things with an eye towards the future. And when you finish the book, it's a conclusion, but it's also the possibility of a continuance. So I've got all that. And then, you know, there's some other things I haven't really thought through far enough to talk about specifically, but there are some options.
I mean, that's the thing. I love all these different stories that you're telling, and like your diversity in writing is something that a lot of traditional fantasy authors don't. I mean, I'm thinking like Robert Jordan is a perfect example. He didn't really have a lot of depth or breadth, but then you have someone like Brandon Sanderson, who has written just obscenely weird versions of stories that somehow work together. But you have different, not necessarily interconnecting stories, which is a very nice thing to have from an author, because we do get kind of oversaturated with our worlds.
I think that's a real danger with Shannara. Always has been that, you know, you run out of steam and suddenly it all looks the same. That's one of the advantages about writing about different different groups of your family members at different times in the history of the world, is that you can kind of start over each time out with a set. And write about those characters, and then you're done with them, and you move on. You do something else, and that's made it possible to go for all this time with the series without burning out, without feeling like you're shortchanging your readers. But I think that there's always a danger that you're going to push the envelope in the wrong direction too, and it's one of the reasons why I don't write about anything until I get good and caught up in some aspect of this story that I feel strongly about and want to explore. Usually I tell people I read the newspapers, usually the political sections. When I read those, I get all upset. And that immediately starts to generate thoughts about where I'm going to go, or something I want to write about that has a link I want to follow through a storyline. And that'll become immediately apparent in The Fall of Shannara. So you have to spend time thinking it through, I think, pretty carefully. All in all, I feel like I haven't quite tapped out on these other things, and they should work out.
All right, how about a very different question then? Do you have a favorite series that you just enjoy reading? What do you enjoy reading? What perks your interest?
Beyond newspapers, one would hope.
Well, there's two aspects to this. I don't read a lot of newspapers. Don't get me wrong here. You know, I'd be in the home somewhere if I did. No, I do. I read a lot. That's what I do. More than I watch a little television, but usually when it's streaming. Yeah. I watch movies, go out to them mostly. But I'm a reader, and so I'm always reading something. I read outside my field almost as much as I read inside my field, maybe more. Because you don't learn as much about reading from other writers in your field as you do about reading other writers who are writing in totally different areas. So, I read a lot of surprising things because my wife is an avid reader, and she mostly reads literature. So she gives me books to read. Like I just finished reading a book called Celine by a writer named Peter Heller, who wrote Dog Star. Dog Star is a post-apocalyptic story about a man and his dog out in this wilderness world. Well, Celine is a story, amazing, amazing story, about this older woman who's had this life, and she's been a detective, and she's been with the FBI. She's a dead shot from about 50 yards with any weapon, and she specializes in finding people who have disappeared or who have been lost to their families. Something really strange, but the story is about her. It's a character development about her. Amar Towles, who wrote A Gentleman in Moscow, amazing book. And Billy Lynn's Long Halftime Walk, which has been around a while now, but it's still one of my favorite stories about the war in Iraq, which all happens and talks about it at the Dallas football Thanksgiving Day games at halftime. Now I ask you,
that's an interesting idea.
Oh, the concept is amazing.
Yeah.
So I read a lot of things like that. I read mysteries, police procedurals sometimes. Then along with post-apocalyptic I read a lot of young adult. It always surprises the young adult readers. You do? You read us? I say, yeah, man, I think some of you got great stories. And I'm not huge on the dystopian novels as much as I am about the alternate society books. This new world that is being written about, I'm reading a book right now called... what's the book I'm reading right now? Something of Night, Colors of Night, Shadows of Night.
Creatures of Night.
Creatures Made of Night. Creatures Made of Night. And it's an amazing story about a world in which all of this African culture and these characters go back and forth trying to make a living, and when they're all being beaten down by a higher authority. So all that it interests me and infuses me with the energy to go out and write my own work.
Yeah, that's the thing. So one last brief question: do you have a favorite book?
Of mine?
Of anyone?
In general.
Oh my God, no! I could never make that choice. I have so many favorite books. I'm constantly. It's one of the wonderful things about being a writer is you get to read all these other people, and you can judge their work based on what you know about your own work. And they are constantly surprising you with the things that they do. and things that I would never know or maybe never even know to do, and I see them doing it, and it makes me want to go out and do something like that. I want to do something fascinating like that. Not exactly like it, but, you know, have that same impact on readers.
Well, thank you so much for your time. We know you have to go and get to a panel, and you have many fans anxiously awaiting you, but it's always great talking to you. So thank you so much, and we'll get this posted with links to all of your work.
All right. Well, thanks again for having me on the podcast. It's always fun.
Thank you.